the 34th Psalm. We've been on a series now for a number of weeks. I believe this is the 11th part of this, that we're calling the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. A lot in the Bible about the fear of the Lord, the fear of God. And I think in our circles, you know, faith circles, we've learned that God didn't give us the spirit of fear. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't have the fear of the Lord. So how do you rightly divide this and understand this? And so we all stood up and asked the Lord to teach us about this a number of weeks ago. If you haven't been with us, go online, faithlife.org. Go to the Word Supply. All the previous messages are there. Won't cost you anything. No charge. And those of you that have been here, would you recommend that, yes, that folks hear it? And it's important. Oh, absolutely. It's really important. In fact, the further I get into it, I see it's a gap, it's a hole in a lot of people's lives and understanding. It's some things that have been lost even for multiple generations going back. We are experiencing the bad aftermath of the rebellion of the 50s and 60s. We've got entire generations now that weren't taught the reverence and respect the things of God. Their parents didn't teach them because their grandparents didn't teach their parents. And things can be lost in a generation. And of course, that's what the enemy's after. He's the thief. Look with me in Psalm 34, please. Psalm 34, and we just prayed a prayer. Are you believing with me today, please? There's some, you know, I got some things in my heart, but it takes the Lord to get it out. And it takes the Lord to help the hearer to get it too. So Psalm 34 in verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about who? Them that fear him, that fear the Lord, and didn't, not just with them, but delivers them. Is the angel of the Lord with everybody on the planet to deliver them? No, they're not. Who are they with? Those that fear him. Verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Actually, the fear of the Lord and trusting in God, faith in God, go together. They are connected. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to them that fear him. Now we see total provision. Huh? Comes to those who what? So we see protection for those that fear the Lord, and we see provision for those that fear the Lord. I mean, just those two things you should want to know more about, right? The fear of the Lord. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Verse 11, come, you children, hearken to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord can be taught. And if it can be taught, it can be learned. Right? And so we kicked this off by praying this prayer and opening ourselves up to the Lord about this. But we always have people that weren't with us in the previous time. So let's say it again. Everybody say, Father God, teach me your fear, the fear of the Lord. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, he certainly will. I said he certainly will. In Proverbs, we went and saw this, Proverbs 1 and 7. We said you can learn what something is by learning what it's not. And that's definitely the case with this. You keep seeing this other word come up that is the opposite of the fear of the Lord. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, I'm believing that we will get to this in the process of time, but increased reverence will affect increased manifestation. Are y'all awake? Increased reverence. The Spirit of the Lord, don't you remember the Bible talks about don't grieve the Spirit? Well, how would you grieve him? The Bible even uses the phrase in Hebrews, insulting the Spirit of grace. How would you do it? Well, it's certainly the opposite of respect and reference. Well, the Lord is everywhere, but he's not in the same measure of manifestation everywhere. You know, Abraham said on one occasion, he said, I said to myself, there's no fear of God in this place. That affects how a place, for lack of a better word, feels. The feel of a place. You can tell, I travel quite a bit, and a lot of times you can tell when you get off the plane and drive through the city, you sense certain things. And many times it's not good. But sometimes, hallelujah, it's good. Right? And that will come directly back to the degree of manifestation of the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. And that's going to be connected to how people do or don't fear him. They reverence him. They respect him. They love him. Or they don't. There's a direct connection. That's why the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. No matter how brilliant a person might be considered to be, they might be considered a genius in this world. If you don't show God some respect and reverence, you don't begin to know the things that matter. Real knowledge and real understanding and real godly wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools do what? Say it out loud. Fools despise. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you look at the Proverbs 13:13 says, whoever despises the word shall be destroyed. But he that what? Fears the commandment shall be rewarded. The fear of the Lord includes fear. You should be terrified to die without God. Are y'all listening? I mean to fall into the hands of the living God, to face judgment without Jesus. You should be beyond scared. But those who of us who have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have to be afraid of him. He loves us. He's received us to himself. But we should still remind ourselves continually of who we're talking to, who we're praying to, the Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, who has our breath in his hand. It's his gravity keeping our feet on the ground. It's his oxygen that we're breathing. We should remind ourselves how great he is and revere his person, his knowledge, his wisdom, his power, his love, his grace. It says, if you despise the word, you'll be destroyed. But if you fear the commandment, you'll be rewarded. Destroyed or rewarded depending on your response to His word. Now that's true. Everything in our life, our entire life and our eternity is determined by our response to His words. The whole thing. And that's, we can't blame Him. We can't blame somebody else. It's our choice. Our choice. Now He says, fear is opposed with despising. Put up on the screen for us the 1 Samuel. And this is the second chapter. This is the words that we have above the first 230, I believe is what it is. The screen here, the platform. 1 Samuel 2:30, just the latter part of it, he says, them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. This shows the contrast. Honor is a part of the fear of the Lord. A good thing to get clear in your mind is the difference between pride and honor. Pride is of the devil. There is no good kind of pride. Honor is of God. They're not the same at all. And here he says, those that honor me, what did he say he'll do? The word honor is from the word heavy. And you see the contrast, those that despise me shall be what? Lightly. So it's heavy versus light. Honor versus despise. If you honor something, it's of great value to you. And that's revealed by how you speak about it, by how you treat it, by how you handle it. And you'll find in many cases, folks have become too casual, too loose in referencing and handling because of a lack of fear of the Lord. And you'll find that God says, I'm going to treat you and your things the way you treat me and my things. You honor me. And that would include His things. I'm going to honor you. You treat me and my things like they are important, like they are precious and valuable. I'm going to treat you and your things like they are. But if you despise me and my things and treat them lightly, like they don't matter, then that's how you and your things will be treated. Now, I know sometimes people don't like that idea, but I didn't write the scripture. Huh? And we just got through talking about Ananias and Sapphira last week in the book of Acts. They're a part of the same church we are. Same gospel, same age of grace, same Holy Spirit, same name of Jesus. And they were judged and died instantly for disrespecting God in front of the congregation. Why so severe? Why so quickly? Well, we got into it. They mocked some holy things of God when there's a great move of the Spirit. Signs and wonders were happening. And they stood up and lied and mocked the things of God. And I'm going to say something that you're going to have to think about and pray about. At that point, I think they were believers. But at that point, their death was worth more than them finishing their life. Because it made a statement that you and I are still talking about centuries later. Because by this time, they'd have already been long dead anyway. I see you're going to have to pray about this and think about this. You remember Paul talked about this in Philippians? He said he wanted God to be glorified whether it was living or whether it was dying. Right? You want God to be glorified. Well, God wasn't glorified in them lying. But if you think, well, I think that was too severe. I think that was too harsh. Well, then you think you're more merciful than God. And that shows a lack of you fearing God. You don't respect him enough. Well, we're having fun now, aren't we? We're moving right along. Go to Numbers, please. Numbers. I want to review just a little bit. Numbers, the 12th chapter. This was, as a boy, reading the Bible for the first time in my life, one of the first revelations I can remember getting was right here in this chapter, Numbers 12. I think I must have been about, 10 years old, 10, 11, something like that. And I realized I hadn't read the Old Testament. And I thought, so I started in Genesis, and I got to Numbers. And I got to this chapter, and I got to the third verse. And sitting in the chair, the Holy Spirit got in the chair with me. And asked me a question. Well, back up to verse 1. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And Bubba and Sis didn't like it. Now, I know sometimes people jump to, they say, well, it's because she was dark skinned. Not necessarily. It could have just been because she wasn't Hebrew. You know. But either way, they didn't like her. They thought he shouldn't have got involved with her. And they decided they would let it be known. Now, what's our subject? What are we talking about? The fear of the Lord. Verse 2. They said, Miriam and Aaron, Moses' sister and brother, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not also spoken by us? And the Lord heard it. Did you know he hears everything? He heard it. And in parenthesis, it could say, uh-oh. Right? Verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. That was the verse, the revelation the Lord quickened to me as a boy. When I read that, I sensed the presence of the Lord, and he asked me a question. I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but inside me, real distinctly, he said, Keith, did you notice Moses was the meekest man, the most humble man in his generation? I thought, yeah, that's what it said. And there was a pause, then he said, do you realize he was the most used man of me in his generation? I thought, yeah, that's right. And later on, I realized that Jesus said, come learn of me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. You'll find a direct connection between true humility and being used of God. That's another subject. But verse 4, the Lord spake suddenly to Moses and Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, if they were smart, they'd have knelt down right there, huh? And started repenting. But they came out, and the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam by name. Come here. Phew. I told you it was uh-oh. And they both came forth. He said, hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I'll speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. He's in another category. He's beyond that. Who is faithful in all my house. There is no greater affirmation than that. The Almighty says, calls your name and said, he's faithful in all of everybody in my house. He is faithful. Whoo. Now let me just stop right here. You see, Miriam and Aaron got in trouble. And their big problem is they judged Moses after the flesh. They saw him as brother. They thought that gave them a right to say things, share their opinion. Since they, you know, they thought, well, he comes from the same bloodlines as us. We know what he knows. No, you're not the same.
Right.
God didn't appear to you in the burning bush.
Right.
God didn't use you to call all the signs and wonders down on Egypt.
Right.
No, you're not the same. Here's something we need to understand. Being somebody here doesn't make you anybody there. God is no respecter of persons. Being somebody in the world doesn't make you anybody in heaven or in the kingdom. And if you have revelation, you begin to get a glimpse of who people are to God. Now, they got flesh just like you. I mean, God has to work with what he's got.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the biggest problem with God's called and anointed and his leaders, their biggest problem is they're like you.
Yeah.
They're human. They don't know everything.
Yeah.
They've made mistakes.
Yeah.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
But what you want to do is say, Lord, open my eyes to see who they are to you. Oh, come on, can you see this? See, Jesus' own family judged him after the flesh. You remember his mother and brothers hung outside the door, sent word for him to get up and come there? That's disrespectful. He's in the middle of ministry. They think because they're kin, they can just say, come here. Stop and come here. We're calling you. And in his own hometown, he could there do no mighty works. Why? Because the Bible said, they said, basically, who does he think he is? I mean, this is Joseph and Mary's boy. My brother works with his sister down at the plant. Who is he saying he's anointed? And they judged him after the flesh and didn't see who he was and is to the Father. Which means they had no fear of God. We don't just treat people the way we treat them. We shouldn't anyway. Because of what we see and hear. We should treat people the way we treat them because of what God has said about them and who they are to him. Y'all okay? Are y'all with me? They didn't know who Moses was to God. And that's what he's telling them. He's saying, Moses is not just a prophet. Go on to the next verse. He said, I speak mouth to mouth with him. Moses was so in such close proximity to God for 40 days and 40 nights that his skin was irradiated.
Yeah.
That's how close he was to God.
Yeah.
He hung out with the Almighty in the fire on the mountain for a month and a half. And you got a problem with his wife. You should keep your mouth shut.
Right.
Did it never occur to them that somebody so close to God that if God didn't like her, He could have said something.
Right.
He talks to him every day.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
And how about this?
Yeah.
If God likes her, what's your problem? Right? If God likes her, how do you know God didn't say, hey, she's a good one for you, Moses? Then here you are, running your mouth on the side. Keep reading. I speak mouth to mouth with him, not in dark speeches. He sees the similitude of the Lord. The Lord told him, you can't see me straight on, but he sees the form of God in the fire. Why were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? What's the answer? They had no fear of God. If they'd have had fear of God, they would have been afraid to run their mouth about him. They would have seen him more than just their brother. This is a part of growing up spiritually, developing spiritually. We've already been through this one time, but I'm just reviewing because it leads to the next part here. We saw, you know, when those the soldier and his guys, his 50, yelled at the man of God, oh, man of God, come down here. And fire came down and wiped them out. No respect. And then we saw, you know, how that the teenagers yelled at Elisha, go up, you old bald head, go up, you old bald head. And bears came out of the woods and tore them up. Now somebody says, you know, why did God do that to them? It's not so much that God did it to them. If you refuse to fear the Lord and you treat his things like they're nothing, you will be treated like you don't matter.
Right.
He does not owe you protection.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
When the presence of God left from Miriam and Aaron, Miriam became leprous.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God she was healed later. But it wasn't the holy presence of God that made her leprous.
Right. That's
right. It happened after the presence of God left. Because when it left, her protection left.
Yes, that's right.
Come on, can you see this or not?
Yes.
And if you treat God's things like they don't matter, then you will forfeit your own blessing and forfeit your own protection. God doesn't have to set out to destroy you. All he's got to do is take his hand off of you and leave you to yourself. And you're done. Somebody say, no.
No,
no Lord. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Samuel. Y'all got time for this? 2 Samuel and the 6th chapter. And you see another really good example of this. 2 Samuel 6, and we'll start here about verse 12. I tell you, before we start reading this, I want to put something up on the screen. Put up Proverbs 8:13. Now, you just go to 2 Samuel 6, but notice this. Proverbs 8:13. Another big revelation about the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is to what? If you fear God, there are things you despise. You don't despise him, but you despise what he despises. You hate what he hates. And what does he hate?
Evil.
Pride and arrogancy. Oh, man. Pride. Ugh. Like we already said earlier, there's no such thing as good pride. People say, well, I'm proud of my kids. Well, repent. I want you to listen to this. When Jesus came up out of the water being baptized and the Father said, this is my beloved Son, I'm so proud of him. No. Pleased. You can be pleased with your kids. You can be thankful for your kids. But to be proud is to be proud of yourself, because they're your kids. Are y'all with me or not? Well, I'm proud to be an American. Uh-oh. We should be thankful. Come on, y'all listening. We should be thankful. We should be honored. But pride will get you destroyed. The more proud of people are, the more they talk about how they've done everything, and they quit talking about God, and that's how you lose his protection and get destroyed. There's a, don't take my word for it, but study these things out. Honored, yes. Proud, no. Thankful, yes. Pleased, yes. Proud, no. Pride is of the devil.
Amen.
And there's deception that goes along with pride. And God hates it. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the what? Mouth. Froward mouth do I hate. When you don't control your mouth, and you shoot your mouth off when you shouldn't, and it's disrespect, it's a bad thing. It's a lack of fear of God. Somebody say, teach me about it, Lord. Show me. Give me discretion to know the difference. Understanding of holy things. I ask it in Jesus' name. The froward mouth is the opposite of the fear of the Lord. Pride, arrogancy, evil way, froward mouth. You know, the psalmist talked about evil people saying, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Well, if Jesus is your Lord, your lips are not your own. We should say what he tells us to say. And that's a big part of submission, is submitting your mouth to him. You need to know when to be quiet. And you need to know when to speak. And you need to know how to speak. A lot of times, especially if there's an elder or a leader involved, asking a question instead of telling is a huge difference.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Ask a question. Even if you think you know, ask a question. Show some respect. Not just because of them, but because of who they are to God.
Right.
Because God chose them and anointed them and placed them. In 2 Samuel and the 6th chapter and the 12th verse, let's look at what happened here. What has happened, if you back up to the 1 Samuel and come all the way up through here, Saul disobeyed God, and they were defeated in battle, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken by their enemies, the Philistines. And at this point, the Ark of the Covenant has been in enemy territory for years. And this is the heart of the nation. But it has made its way back into the country. And David is king. And they want to go get it and bring it to Jerusalem and bring it to a place of honor. And it was told the King David saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom. That's where the ark was, because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. This is a big deal. You know, when the ark was taken, it was said the glory has departed. It was an awful thing. And so now they're going to get it. Bring it back. The Ark of the Covenant. Hallelujah. Where the presence of God manifested in between the cherubim, overshadowing it. Hallelujah. Where the pot of manna was in there, and Aaron's rod, and the tablets of the commandments. Doesn't get any more holy and special. Keep reading. When they bare the ark of the Lord and had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod as opposed to his kingly robes. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. So, man, this is jubilation. The music is loud, and the shouting is exuberant, and the dancing is strong. And as the ark of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she said, I got to get down there and join the party. No. What'd she do? She despised him in her heart. She despised him in her heart. Now, we've been talking about this the whole time. This is the opposite of reverence and respect. She despised him. To despise means that it's little in your eyes. It's nothing in your eyes. Keep going. They brought in the ark of the Lord. They set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. As soon as David had made an end of the offering, burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. He dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to women as men, to everyone, a cake of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. And so all the people departed, everyone to his house. Is this a big day?
Yeah.
He wanted to make sure nobody went hungry. Everybody's got, everybody has got a good meal and a good time. Why? The ark is back.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The ark is back. And all they're celebrating. Verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today. Does she mean that, or is sarcasm? Sarcasm has no place in the mouth of the child of God.
Amen.
It's a form of mockery.
Yes.
And you got to watch, because most of the so-called comedy on TV today, in movies, is sarcasm. And you can pick it up without meaning to, especially if you watch a lot of it and listen to a lot of it. How many think you should say what you mean? And mean what you say. You should speak with honesty and sincerity. And mockery is a strong effort to disrespect. That's what it is. Is she trying to respect David? No. She's trying to shame him. Keep reading. How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. Now, I don't know how uncovered he was. You know, the Bible uses different language to describe. He was doing some big dancing. So he could have had a wardrobe malfunction. I don't know. But and he wasn't, he didn't have his kingly robes on. And this is one of the big deals that's going on here. You'll notice multiple times it refers to her as Saul's daughter. She's a princess. She grew up in the house of the king. A king's daughter, a princess. She grew up learning protocol and decorum. You dress a certain way. Your entourage comes in a certain way. And David purposely didn't do that. He said, today I ain't king. I am a praising fool. That's what I am. He didn't put on his crown. He didn't put on his robe. He just put on a simple, nice but simple linen ephod. And man, he don't care what people think. He is so happy. He is so glad because it's been years and years that the Ark of the Covenant's been in the wrong hands, in the wrong place, and now it's back. Now it's back. Now it's back. It's back. It's back. And so, man, they were blowing the trumpets and they were cranking on the harps. And if they'd have had amps, they'd have cranked it up to 10. And they were having a big praise time. And they should have been. Why? Because this is a big deal, right? It's a big thing. People who have fear of God, to them, the things of God are the biggest things. Yes. To her, the biggest thing was the appearance. Yes. It was a bad look. He embarrassed her. Their royalty. Now, there's a whole history here. I won't go into, but... You know how David had to run from her father and how her father tried to use her to get him killed. Told him he could marry her if he would kill 100 Philistines. Yeah, he doubled it. It was supposed to wind up with him being dead. That's not how it worked. And anyway, I don't know how she thought, but David, he was a shepherd boy. And then he's a warrior. He's a soldier. And he didn't grow up in the king's house. And does he know all the protocols and all that? But she doesn't see him like God sees him. She thought because she's his wife, she can straighten him out and even shame him. Huh? That he should have worn what she laid out for him. Oh, this is going over big now, ain't it? Woo! Or at least he should have asked her.
Right?
Right? Yeah. What to wear. Instead of just throwing on that t-shirt. And, huh? Yeah, really. Kicking up his heels like he was. But the Lord had said, and this is recorded in the book of Acts. He said, I have found David, a man after my own heart, who will do according to all my will. She's not showing him respect as the king, as her husband, as God's choice. And so she is disrespecting God and doesn't fully realize it. Can you see this? We must grow and develop beyond judging each other after the flesh. Huh? Become more spiritual. See things more through his eyes. She said, how glorious. Look at it again. How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids and the servants. See, she was embarrassed. You embarrassed me. You embarrassed us. You embarrassed the royal family. Hmm? Out there jumping up and down and exposed yourself.
Hmm?
Yeah, exactly. Why was she not there? Hmm? Why does she not care more about that the ark is back? Why is she not there in the street with them? Celebrating. Backing. You know, Phyllis, my wife and I have a wonderful, wonderful wife. We'll, in just a few days, we'll be married 49 years. And both of us have grown, you know, through the years. Had our issues and ups and downs, but we're still here.
That's right.
Didn't we see one today? 61?
Yes.
Woo!
Right.
Yeah. 61 years of marriage. And I just wanted to mention this, and she wouldn't tell you this, but, you know, I've been doing faith school for years now. And you may not know exactly how that would work, but what I'll do is I'll prepare a day ahead of time, and then I'll get up about 6:30 in the morning the next day, and by about 9:30, I'm ready for camera. Time you get ready, you need to eat a few bites, you need to get there, get dressed, and do all the stuff you need to do. And then I'm there for another 4 hours or so. I'm coming up on 900 of those that we've done. Phyllis has been to every one of them, except maybe three or something. Well, she's got all kind of things to do. Huh? But she rolls out at six with me. She doesn't have to be there. But she said, it's important. Right? And she's there to be there to help, to back. I thank God for that. I said, I thank God for that. And whether it's you or me or whoever we help or whatever part we play, should there be nothing more important to us on any day of the week than the things of God? Huh? Should they be first? First and most important. Well, see, that wasn't most important to Makai. Most important to her was appearances. You know, what people were posting. Can you see this? Put it back on the screen for us. Yeah. So verse 21. David said, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to embarrass you, dear. Huh? No, he did not. I said, no, he did not. Yeah, but what if this caused you a problem at home? See, a lot of people just cave and give in when they know something's not right because they just don't want to have problems at home. Quiet in here today. He said to her, it was before the Lord. What does that mean? I wasn't doing it for you. I wasn't doing it for them. I wasn't doing it for anybody except the Lord. The Lord that chose me instead of your daddy. If you hadn't noticed or not, he's no longer around. God picked me, appointed me ruler over the people of the Lord. I mean, that would have been her opportunity. No matter how she felt about him personally, she should have realized, I need to shut up. God is in this. He did choose him. He did put him in this place. But she didn't. To appoint me ruler over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord. Keep going. I will yet be more vile. You ain't seen dancing yet. You Do you remember when Jesus' triumphal entry into the city? Man, people, they were waving the palms and they were going, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the religious leader said, you got to tell them to be quiet. Hush, hush, quieten this down. That's the enemy always. Hush, hush. You got to quieten this down. Quit. What? Don't praise God. Don't praise God. Don't praise God. Don't celebrate the things of God. Don't make a big deal out of the things of God. That's the devil. That's when the Lord said, if these were quiet, the rocks would cry out. David said, No. He didn't apologize. He said, I will be more vile than this, and I will be base in my own sight. Her, Michal's father, Saul, his downfall was this very thing. Right before he was judged and went out the wrong way, is when the prophet said to him, when you were little in your own eyes, God chose you, made you ruler over his people. What does that mean? That's changed. Now you got the big head. Now you're more concerned about appearances. And see, that's exactly what her father did, even when the prophet told him, no, I'm not going to go before the people and offer sacrifice with you. He reached out and grabbed him and is going to force him. He said, well, yeah, but do it for me in front of the people. See, she's doing the same thing her daddy did. Can you see that? Appearances. It's what the people see. We gotta make the right showing, the right appearance. He said, no, I will be base in my own sight. And the maidservants that you spoke of them will I be had in honor. And there's a side note here. What I don't get at my own house. I'm not getting it at home. But they'll honor me because they respect the things of God. Even if I didn't do it perfectly, they know my heart. They know why we're shouting today. It ain't about me being king. It ain't about you being princess and queen. It's about God. And I will be had in honor of them. You know, that's what it's what the Master Jesus said in his own hometown when they were offended at him. He said, a prophet's not without honor except in his own town, his own house, his own place, own country. That's how many people are. You don't have to be that way. I don't have to be that way. Jesus said, don't judge according to appearances, but judge right judgment, righteous judgment. Stand on your feet, everybody. I've gone long enough. Stand on your feet. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil and the froward mouth, pride, arrogancy. David was a man after God's own heart. He's a man who had some humility. Moses was the most humble man in his generation. Jesus, the most meek in any generation. Close your eyes. Pray it out loud with me. Father God. I reverence you. I honor you. I fear before you. Thank you for choosing me, honoring me to be a part of your family and your things. Set a watch at the door of my mouth and alert me lest I speak with froward lips, lest I speak out of turn, out of place. Open my eyes to see people the way you see them, the way you value them, that I may esteem what you esteem, honor what you honor, and thereby honor you. Lift up your voice. Pray in the Spirit in just a moment. On prele kistigie nenica. Indianes omen crede onore prisci.